Lord, we love you this morning. Glory to God. We thank you because all things are yours and we are yours. And thine, O Lord, is the kingdom and the power and the glory. All that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine, and thou, O Lord, art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from you, Lord, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand, O Lord, is power. In thy hand it is, Lord, to make great and to give strength unto all. It is in your hand, Lord, to protect, to shield us, to bless us, and to even exalt us. It's all in your hand. Hallelujah. Now, therefore, O Lord, we thank you and we praise your glorious name. And let the entrance of your word, as it is written, bring forth light and understanding in our hearts, even this morning, as we stand in the word of the Lord. Let it be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give the Lord the praise and give the Lord the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, good morning and good afternoon. Welcome again, everyone. Hopefully, I just want to give a short exhortation and allow, you know, more reactions, more interaction in the room. Yesterday, you know, we covered Holy Spirit dimensions and the various levels, how high we can go and how deep you can go inside the river of the Holy Spirit and experiences. God can take us to greater heights than we haven't known. Today, I just want to share something just to bless our hearts, you know, just to, you know, encourage you about the goodness of the Lord for just a few minutes. I will be reading from mostly the book of Luke chapter 1. I'll read a couple other scriptures from here and there. But this reading that I want to do this morning, just like a Bible reading, I want to take it from Luke chapter 1. But I'll give you the background. I'm sure you know it already too. The background in this place is Zechariah, the priest, is turned to minister, and his wife's name is called Elizabeth. And we know one thing that we read starting right off is that this man, Zechariah, and his wife Elizabeth, both of them were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Now, isn't that wonderful? So let's read it. There was in the days of Herod, this is Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron. So she was also from, you know, the priesthood somehow. And her name was Elizabeth. And they both were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and statutes, ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now that's a powerful testimony. I mean, can that be said of us? That we are walking in all the commandments of the Lord. Now, some of his commandments are kind of, you know, what we think in our hearts, you know, that the, you know, the foundation, but they are foundational, you know. Love your neighbor as yourself is a commandment. Forgive is a commandment. Don't hold grudge and all these things. You know, let no root of bitterness spring up in you. These are commandments, you know. But are we, you know, able to keep and walk in all the commandments of the Lord and all his ordinances blameless? Can you say that you're actually blameless? Or can God say, more importantly, it's not what you say, it is not who approves himself or who men approve that is approved of God, but whom God approves. So can God say of you and me that we are walking blameless before the Lord? Can he say that of us? Well, despite the fact that they were blameless before the Lord, keeping all the commandments and ordinances of God, yet they were childless. You know, so we see that even difficult challenges and bad things may happen to people that are good and upright before the Lord. Now, this man, you would have thought that a man that's upright in his heart before the Lord, because the Bible says, blessed is a man that, you know, loves the Lord and so forth, and is upright in his heart, you know, his wife should be as a fruitful vine and all that. You know, he feared the Lord, and these people feared the Lord, yet they were childless. And why is that? Well, God knows everything. But nevertheless, let's continue the story. It's a tremendous thing. There's a tremendous impact that will, you know, the story of their birth or their, you know, having a child would actually have upon the entire world. And it came to pass that while Zacharias executed the priest's office, you know, before God in the order of his course, it came to pass, you know, that he went in to burn incense. Now, both him and Elizabeth were both now well stricken in years, you know. So, while it was his lot to burn incense, he went into the temple. And all the rest of the people were outside praying, as the manner of the people were. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. So apparently, they've been praying about this thing. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. Now, the angel was going to name this child right off the bat. He's not leaving it up to chance for someone to give the name to the child. That's a purpose. And God's going to handle it. And there's a tremendous visitation from the angel of the Lord. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be greater in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled. Now, remember, people are not generally filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb, but this one, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. I mean, how many people can you say that of in the scriptures? Filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Because this man, there was a divine purpose upon his life. You know, God had set him apart even before he was born. He was going to do something tremendous and fulfill some scriptures. He was going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, making the way for the Lord to come. It was going to be, you know, so to speak, the announcer of the Christ and the forerunner of the Lamb of God. And so as this incident went on, and the angel said all these things, he said, look, not only that, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Did Jesus not say, if you can receive it, that was Elias that came in the spirit concerning John? You know, how many people were born in the Bible that the Lord prophesied all these things about them, what they are going to do even before they were born? You know, I don't know of too many. This one was a man that stood apart. And yet, It came by way of trouble, you know, many years of distress and anguish and pain and disappointment and shame, even sometimes, you know, that these people didn't have a child. You know, and he said, well, you know, he is going to do all of these things, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. That's the first part of, you know, what we saw that the Lord said in the book of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 6. The spirit of Elias will come at the end of the day, turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And John the Baptist, he did that. Then he'll come again, the power and the anointing of God, turn the hearts of the children, you know, back to the fathers. And he's going to turn the hearts of the disobedient, make them receive the justice, I mean, the wisdom of the just. And he's going to make a people ready and prepared for the Lord. I mean, powerful revelation of who this child is going to be. And, but what did Zechariah say unto the angel? Oh, whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man. And my wife is well stricken in years. Well, don't you think that the Lord knows that already? Now, let's be careful, you know, when we, before the Lord and start to tell him things. Does he not know this already? Did the Lord not know that you are old and well stricken in years? Did the Lord not know that your wife is old and well stricken in years? Yet he sent the angel of the Lord to tell you this. And so, you know, well, yeah, he said, well, I don't know. You know, this is kind of we've been praying for years. We've tried everything and it hasn't worked. You know, so this time around, it's the angel of the Lord, Gabriel. He wasn't quite happy. And he's going to tell him something. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel. That's right. And I stand in the presence of God. And I told you this thing. I was sent from the Lord and you don't believe my words. All right. Here's what's going to happen to you. From now until the day that these things shall be performed, you will not be able to speak. You will be dumb. Because you didn't believe my words. But these my words shall be fulfilled in their season. All right. Well, that's my first punchline today. The word of the Lord concerning you or any other thing that God might have spoken shall be fulfilled in its season. And all these words shall be fulfilled in their season. And they shall no more be delayed. They will be fulfilled. Now, you know, the best thing for us is align yourself with that word. Now, notice that in the case of this Zechariah, the angel was kind of angry at him because, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. I mean, this man ought to know more. I mean, he's a priest after all. You have to recognize the word of the Lord. So the angel wasn't happy with him. And so smote him with dumbness, so to speak. And the man could not speak until the day that, you know, the child was born. Now, you notice that in the case of Mary, which we have read before, also later on in the chapter, her own story was a bit different. She said the same thing, actually. And hers was even more unimaginable. I mean, you know, that she would be pregnant without being with a man. That was even crazy stuff. And she said the same thing. But the angel, the same angel, was a little more patient with her because, you know, well, I mean, she was, you know, an ordinary young lady, a virgin, different from our priest. I should know better. You know, so, but here, back to our story. You know, this man became dumb and he couldn't speak, you know. And then when he came out, everybody was wondering what was happening or what had happened to him because he was only beckoning to them with his hands. He couldn't speak. So they said, well, maybe he saw a vision or something. But that thing went on for 9 months. He could not speak, you know, because he did not sanctify the word of the Lord in his mouth and in his heart. But the Lord, you know, the purpose of the Lord will stand nonetheless. And it came to pass, as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, just like the word of the Lord said. It's just that simple. And then, well, you know, she hid herself 5 months. She wouldn't even come out into the public. She wouldn't even tell her cousins. She wouldn't tell her friends. She just hid herself. Who knows what was going on in her mind? You know, just hid herself. You know, and she's not going to let anyone ask her any questions. You know, and so finally she said, look, the Lord had dealt with me. They were with me in the days when he looked on me and to take away my reproach. So that situation of being barren was a reproach that she felt, you know, but so here the Lord has dealt with her and she's now 5 months pregnant. And in the 6th month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel went unto Mary. So we've seen and we know all of that, you know, so. But here's what would happen. I'm going to skip that and jump to verse 57. Now, Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered. And she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her. And they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass, and on the 8th day, when they came to circumcise the child, they called him Zacharias, after the name of his father. And his mother said, no, shall be called John. Because, you know, of course, Zacharias already told her, and so forth. You know, maybe he wrote it down somewhere. Couldn't speak that whole time, remember. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. Are you just going to pull out a name from nowhere? Let's call him by the name of his father or somebody in their lineage. You know, and they said, well, let's ask the man. What's he going to say? Let's hear from the man himself. And yeah, well, of course, at that time, he still couldn't speak. So he asked for something to write on. And he said, his name is John. And everybody marveled. And as soon as he said that or wrote that, his mouth was opened immediately. And his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all of them that dwelt round about. I said, my goodness, what, you know, what manner of child is this going to be? And the hand of the Lord was with the little child. Now, let's hear the prayer of Zacharias. This is really where I'm going. All of that was just the story that led to this. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied. Now, this Holy Ghost, it's amazing when it comes to people. People do, you know, and say all kinds of things that they have no knowledge about. But the Holy Ghost is upon him. Just like Elizabeth, you know, I skipped that story. But when Mary visited her, Elizabeth was immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, remember, the baby in her womb was already filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she began to prophesy and say things, you know, like, why is the mother of my Lord come to me? How in the world did she know that? Mary hadn't told her anything, you know, and, but that's the Holy Ghost. Listen to the experience of this Zacharias too, when the Holy Ghost came upon him powerfully, and he's going to prophesy something concerning the ministry of the so-called John the Baptist and his role, you know, and so forth. Now, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, he said. For he hath visited and redeemed his people. Hallelujah. You know, and he has raised us an honor of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now, this time he's talking about the Christ, not talking about John the Baptist just yet. And he, you know, even as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The oath which he sware to our father Abraham that he will grant unto us, listen to this, that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now he's finished talking about, you know, now he's going to talk about the little boy himself, you know, and that child. He's going to prophesy upon the child now. Now that's an amazing thing. Carry your child and prophesy into the life of the child. That's amazing. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. Whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. Hallelujah. One part of the title of this message or lesson today is taken from that. The day spring from on high has visited us. And what, when he does that, what does he do? And why? And what's the outcome of his visit? Well, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts till the day of his showing to Israel. The day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness. You know, Isaiah and all these people prophesied about it. Behold, people that sit in darkness have seen a great light. Now let's read how Peter would also bring in another perspective that we join into the title of this lesson. And after I finish reading that, and I will say the prophetic aspect of this, how it pertains to you. Now let's read 2 Peter chapter 1. And this is Peter now writing. Let's read from, we'll just read a few verses, maybe from verse 18 or 19 or so. All right. So, well, as a matter of fact, let me just read it from verse 16, just to give some context. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, Peter was there. He saw it and he heard it. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We also have a more sure word of prophecy besides the voice that came. You know, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye will do well to take heed. Take heed unto the sure word of prophecy. Now, that word is in the Bible. We'll see it now in a minute. You will do well to take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Now, every time talking about this, he's always talking about light. You know, John was to go forth to show the light. This, he's talking about light shining in the dark place again, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this scripture, I mean the book, this book of the scripture, which we now call the Bible, was not called the Bible at first. It was, you know, just scriptures that people put together, inspired by God, also to put it together in this canon of this Bible, which we now call the Bible. But it is not given and was not given by the will of man. It was was the Holy Spirit that moved people to write it. Jesus also declared of himself. Remember, here it's talking about the day star is coming to rise in your hearts. Take heed to the word that day star is coming. Now, it's talking about the day spring from on high is visiting us to give us deliverance from our enemies, bringing us light in place of darkness and so on. Now, Jesus himself referring to in the book of Revelation 22 and 16, he would say this about himself. He said, find that verse here. You know, Jesus would talk about, you know, himself as the day star, or the bright and morning star. You know, let's read it together in Revelation 22 and 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and the morning star. And in fact, you know, one of the promises given to overcomers is he that overcometh, I will give him the morning star. And that's Jesus giving you himself. Just like he offered himself to Abraham many years, many years ago. I am thy God. You know, I am your defense. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Well, let's talk about the day spring and the day star visiting us. You know, all of that was just some Bible reading for us to get some context. And it's good to read the Bible. Just read the Bible, learn a few things from these stories. But here is what I want to say about the day spring and the day star visiting us. And I'm going to use that for prayer over the room today. You know, there is something about the Lord visiting his people. Now, sometimes it's called the day of visitation. And sometimes in the scriptures, it's also called a certain season. Well, there was a certain season or a certain day. Let's look at a certain season and a certain day. In John chapter 5, there's a story in the first 9 verses or so that talks about a certain season. And at this certain season, it happened that from time to time, at such a season, some angel will come down, stir some water and so forth. And, you know, somebody that gets in first will be healed. You know the story. But the part of it that I want to bring out today is a part that talks about a certain season of visitation. Is the emphasis today. Praise the Lord. You know, it happened, say, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And there was a certain man there. You know, so there's something about this certain season, a certain man. You know, it means he was appointed. It wasn't just at random. It was appointed. And did you know that the Bible says there was a great multitude of impotent folk in verse 3 of this lesson, I mean this chapter? There was a great multitude of impotent folk that lay there. They were blind, they were halt, they were withered. They were all waiting for the moving of the water. But Jesus only went to one person. What about all the rest? I mean, there was a lot of people there, but he went to only one. There was a certain visitation for this person on that day. As a matter of fact, one time Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And they said, "Are you kidding? All these people around you, and yet you're saying, 'Who touched me?'" I mean, there are people jostling, people doing all kinds of things. I mean, the crowd was all over him. And yet Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Well, no, this is different. You know, there is a touch. you know, there is a touch that has gone from me. Virtue, he said, has gone from me. So, you know, this thing is written in multiple places, but, you know, you can read it in Luke chapter 8. He said, who touched me? Like around verse 45 or so. And when they asked him, say, the crowd is all around you, pressing against you and so forth. Are you talking about who touched you? Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. You know, so there may be a crowd. There may be all kinds of things going on. But it may so happen that, you know, the day spring and the day star may visit just one person. Or maybe visit a group. Now, what's it going to be for you? Are you going to be that one person that will touch him? Well, this woman, she touched him. All the others that were around him, jostling up, bumping against him, they really didn't touch him. Hallelujah. That's a lesson in that as well. Will you reach out and touch the Lord today? There's another story in the book of Luke chapter 5. You know, from about verse 17. There was also a certain day in which the power of the Lord was present to heal. I mean, you wonder about these things because, I mean, the Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But at some times, there may be something in the mind of the Lord and in his mercies for a special visitation. Well, some people will key in onto it. On this particular occasion in Luke chapter 5, we're told that he was in a certain place, you know, and it came to pass on a certain day. So there was something about it. As he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which had come out of every town in Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem and so forth. And the power of the Lord was present to heal. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the power of the Lord is present to heal today. Now, what can he heal? Well, he can heal the brokenhearted. He can heal the blind. He can heal the sick. He can heal bitter waters. He can make straight crooked places. I mean, we call him healer. Anything that needs to be healed. Healed emotions and so forth. Heal the broken spirit. Can do all of these things. Now, healing is for all. And then sometimes, you know, people tried many things, you know, but the condition persists. There was the woman, this same woman that touched his blood, I mean, him that we were talking about. You know, she had tried many things. She'd gone to many doctors. She had, you know, wasted or spent all her living on doctors, but nothing improved. It was not even made any better, but rather grew worse. What we were told, you know, and, but one day, hallelujah, you know, one day she touched the master and it was a different kind of touch. Everybody else was around the master, but one person touched him and it was this woman. And, she had come to the end of the road. Basically, it's like, look, I've done everything I could, gone to doctors, spent all my money, run up and down everywhere and so forth, you know. And sometimes people even go to doctors, do this, even go to prayers and so forth, and nothing happening. But there might just be that one day. And I'm praying that today is that one day. A certain day and a certain season. When the day spring from on high and the day star will visit you. And you know, in the book of Psalm 102 and verse 13, God calls for such a season. Remember, I've often said that the reason we use this word seasons when we're talking about God is just for our benefit. It's not for God's benefit. God's the same all the time. You know, but the mercies of God, just like that angel that will come at a certain season and stay at the pool, it's just the mercies of God. You know, so this season now thing is just for us. Well, it's not a God of season. But nevertheless, you know, there is a chosen thing, a chosen day, and a day known to God that is called that day of visitation. And on the day of visitation, well, where are you going to be? Are you still going to be at the point of faith believing? Or would you have given up? Jesus talked about it in Luke chapter 18. He said, you may not always to pray and not to give up, but when the Lord finally shows up, where will you be? Will he find faith? Or would you have given up? You know, and we find out that many times, you know, when the visitation of the Lord, you know, what is just around the corner, that's when the people give up. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it seems just right around the corner. But long hope wearies the heart. So they finally give up, and the thing is just right around the corner. We saw that in the story of the children of Israel. In Exodus 15, they've been tried everything. No, first at first, there was no water. And then when there was water, it was bitter. They couldn't drink it. The Lord had to do something through Moses. And they can grumble some more. But right around the corner, they were just about to come to Elim, where the God had prepared, you know, 70 palms and dates and all these things, oases and so forth. But they are giving up in their heart. You know, they say, look, we want to go back to Egypt. What shall you do in the day of visitation? The day of visitation can be in desolations which will come from the hand of the Lord in judgment against the world, but it can also be a day of blessing. Hallelujah. You know, so, you know, well, I choose the visitation that is the day of blessing. There are many things that the Lord would give unto us. The days of visitation will come upon the world, but the days of visitation will come upon us also for good. Now today, I want to pray over this room for you to know that the day spring has come and the day star is here to visit you. And here are some of the things that he will do for you. I'm just going to read a prayer and a promise kind of to us that what the Lord will do for you, you know, when he visits you. It's a prayer, but yet, you know, we can look at it as a promise as well. You know, in the book of Psalm 90 and verse 16, we look at this as sort of a prayer, but it's also what the Lord will do. You know, so let me read it from verse 13 for some context. Return, O Lord. How long? You know, and repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad, O Lord, according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, or wherein we have seen evil. You know, in the book of Hosea, well, I was praying yesterday, and the Holy Spirit said, read Hosea chapter 6, and I went and read it. And in that place, he said, look, let us come and return unto the Lord. For, you know, the Lord has torn, he will bind us up, he has smitten, and he will now heal us. You know, so these people, because of their rebellion many times, the hand of the Lord was against them. You know, and the hand of the Lord can come upon someone to be upon them for good, or it can be upon them for evil. You know, so, but when they turn to the Lord, there's always mercy from his presence. He says, satisfy us, O Lord, early with your presence, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. You know, let us have joy again, even for the number of years wherein we have seen evil. Let the joy of the Lord exceed for the years of good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Now, here is the, in verse 17, is the day star. This is what he does for you. He's called a lily of the valley. Hallelujah. And he is called the fairest of 10,000. He shine over you. Let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. You know, just about every one of us, we work in one way or the other. But sometimes the work may not be even be fulfilling, let alone even, you know, satisfy, you know, our needs in terms of paying our bills and so forth. And we work and work and work. And sometimes it's just not enough. And so we got to pick up a second job. And maybe that will help. And maybe sometimes it's still not enough. But the Lord said, look, it is vain for you to rise up early. Psalm 127 and verse 2. Or to sit up late just to eat the bread of our sorrows or affliction. For the Lord will give you sleep. In other words, you know, God must bless the work of our hands. So it's not like sorrowful. You shouldn't be doing this job for sorrow. You know, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow to it. You know, when there is sorrow on our job, you know, and we're making money, but it's like we're putting it into a bag of holes. That's sorrowful. That's not from the Lord. That's failure. That's putting a burden on us. Proverbs chapter 10 and 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he added no sorrow to it. Now, if the job that God gave you is supposed to be a blessing, then you can stand upon this promise and say, Lord, you said it will be a blessing. There'll be no sorrow. So when you're having sorrow and distress on that job, go back to the scripture and claim it. Hallelujah. And challenge God that that word which you have spoken for me in Proverbs 10 and 22 by your mouth, let it be fulfilled with your hand upon this my job as it is this day. And then see what the Lord will do. And the Lord will bless the work of your hands. There are many things that the Lord says to us in his visitations. The visitation of the Lord when we are, you know, walking in obedience, you know, just like Zacharias and Elizabeth, they were walking in obedience. And even though their situation tarried, at some point, they were visited. And God will always visit his children one way or another, you know, no matter how long it tarries. Glory to God. The Lord will visit you and cause the glory of God spring forth in your life. It's called the day spring. Hallelujah. And if you be willing and obedient, then you shall eat the fruit of the land. Praise God. You can read that in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 or so. If you be willing and obedient. Well, these people were obedient. They were even called blameless. But their situation lingered. That situation tarried. Your situation may have lingered, but it may have tarried. But what do you do? Even though you've been believing the Lord and trusting him, yet it seems as if you have not been visited for good. Well, what did the Lord say you should do in such a case? Well, the Lord did promise the day star and the day spring upon you. So let's read what you should continue to do in your situation. Read it in Isaiah chapter 50. And let's pick it up from verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, and obeyeth the voice of his servant? I mean, being perfect in his commandments and all his statutes and precepts, like Zechariah and Elizabeth, but yet walketh in darkness, yet hath reproach. You know, Elizabeth said, look, I have reproach, but the Lord has finally removed my reproach. You're walking in the Lord, you're obeying the voice of his servant, you're doing according to the word of the Lord, you're doing the best you can, even blameless sometimes, but yet you're walking in darkness, and yet there is no light. That day spring is coming. A day star is coming. But what must you do? Trust in the name of the Lord and stay right there. Don't give an inch. Stay upon your God. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Don't look for help anywhere else. Stay right there with God. You know, sometimes when we're trusting the Lord for stuff, you know, enough time passes, we get weary and we start to look here and look there. No. Stay upon your God. For the day spring, the day star is coming to visit you. I'm going to pray. I just wanted to give a short exhortation today. I'm going to pray over the room that the day star will visit you, will rise in your heart. The day spring from on high, you know, will visit you. There are many promises of visitations and of various things that the Lord has in the scriptures. I am going to use some of them to pray over us today. You know, here are some of his promises for us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. There are some promises for us there. How the Lord, this is the increase that the Lord wants to give you. Hallelujah. He said, blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Now, as I read through this, I'm going to turn it into prayer right now over the room. Father, in the name of Jesus, cause your face, O Lord, to shine upon your people. Let the day spring visit those who are looking unto you. Even as it is said in the scriptures, our eyes are upon you, Lord. Now, as the people turn their eyes towards you, Lord, let them be blessed in the city. Now, thou shalt be blessed in the city, and thou shalt be blessed in the field. The Lord shall even bless the fruit of thy body. Hallelujah. And the fruit of thy ground. The fruit of thy cattle, and you will increase. Now, these people were cattle ranchers back in the day. So you increase in thy kind the flocks of thy sheep. Well, you may not be a cattle rancher, but whatever it is that you do, hallelujah, as you do it in the name of the Lord, let there be increase in Jesus' name. Let there be the shining forth of the beauty of the Lord. He said, let the beauty of our God shine upon us, and let him establish the work of our hands. Beautify, O Lord, the work of the hands of your people by your glory. Blessed shall they be when they come in and when they go out. They are blessed. You will be blessed of the Lord. You are blessed in your going out, and you are blessed in your coming in. As you receive, as I say these prayers and this, you know, benediction over you today, all you got to do is say amen. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you to be smitten before thy face. They come in one way, they'll flee before you seven ways. Now, what is the enemy? What is your distress? What aileth thee? He might have come against you one way. Now, we're not talking about, you know, enemies in the flesh. There are enemies in the flesh too. Make no mistake about that. But we are above that. We're not wrestling against them in the flesh. Even though they're enemies in the flesh, we don't wrestle with them in the flesh. We wrestle against the principalities that are controlling them to do those evil things. Now, the Lord shall command the blessing upon you. Now, let the Lord command a blessing. Let the blessing of the Lord. And I stand in the word of the Lord today. Command a blessing upon you, your storehouses, and your bread basket. Bread basket is for now. Storehouse is for later. So the Lord give you plenty now. And even an overflow for even later. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord cause that your oil be flowing and not stayed. And as long as there is a need, the Lord will continue to supply. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. The Lord shall establish you in the land which the Lord give you. Now, the Lord's, you know, some of you are in a foreign land. You moved from Africa to the UK, to Canada, to England, to the United States, or to whatever. But the Lord will establish you in that place. He make you a holy people, or even unto himself. But you must keep the commandments of the Lord, just like Zechariah and Elizabeth. They kept all his commandments. They walked in his precepts. They were blameless. And even though their situation lingered for years, yet one day, that's right, one day, glory to God, one day is all you need. Peter, he was there all night long. They gathered nothing. But yet in one moment, all of that changed. And when the Lord came upon the scene, what they gathered after that was more than they could have gathered perhaps in months. Even their nets were breaking. You can read that story in Luke chapter 5. Nets were breaking. They had to call others in. One day, hallelujah. And it's called the day of visitation. The day when the day spring from on high comes upon you. The day when the day star arises upon your situation. Hallelujah. On that day, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, even as it is this day, in the name of Jesus. The heaven to give rain upon you and to bless the work of your hands. You know, now, blessing the work of our hands is so important. It's in so many places. In Psalm 90 that we read is here as well. You know, because, you know, that's where we spend the majority of our day. You know, always walking and stuff like that. So God's got to bless it so that we are not laboring in vain. Glory to God. Ye shall not labor in vain. Thank you, Jesus. And the enemy shall no longer eat your corn. I'm going to pray that over you as well in a minute. But the Lord, he will bless you. He will make you to be called by the name of the Lord. And he will make you plenteous in goods. You will even be plenteous in the fruit of thy body. Amen. And in the fruit of thy whatever, the ground, the cattle, the work of your hands and so forth, the Lord will bless it in Jesus' name. Now, the Lord will open unto you his good treasure. I pray, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, open unto your people that are in here listening to me today, your good treasure. Even as you have spoken it by your mouth, let it be performed by your hand upon them as it is this day. In Jesus' name, your good treasure. Hallelujah. Open it unto them. Let them be blessed in all the works of their hands. You know, that they be lenders and not borrowers. That they be the head and not the tail. That they be above only and not beneath. That they be in front and not behind. That they be leaders and not just followers. Commanders among the people, even as the sons of Issachar. And they had understanding and God gave them to be commanders over the people. Hallelujah. The Lord will bless you. The Lord will cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious even unto you. And here's what he said to you in the book of Isaiah, chapter 62. I'm going to use this to pray over you as well. Praise the Lord. And if you receive these things, you can say amen, either verbally or you can type it in the chat. And your amen is your permission for God to release these things upon you. It's already released, but you know, you receive it because you said amen. Praise the Lord. It's like, be it unto me according to your word. And that's how you receive it. Praise the Lord. In the book of Isaiah 62, I'm going to release and pray this prayer upon everyone that's in the room. You know, there's a reason why God wants to bless us, you know, so take care of things so that we can attend without distraction upon the Lord. You know, but many of these struggles that we face in life, sometimes they can be real distractions. And the Lord knows it too. Praise the Lord. And here's what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 62. And I love this. Glory to God. You know, it's the Lord said that he will not hold his peace until your righteousness go forth as brightness. Well, until the day spring is shining over you and the day star and the day dawn for you. Day dawn means the breaking of the day. No night can last forever. That day dawn will dawn. Finally, the night may, you know, endure for some time. Sorrow, according to Psalm 30 and verse 5, may endure for a night. The night may last for several hours, but it cannot last for the entire day. At some point, the day must break. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Even as we look at the weather patterns in our lives, winter months, in some areas, the days are shorter, the nights are longer, but even the long nights, no matter how long it is, cannot last forever. God let it like that for a witness. At some point, the day must break. The day must dawn and the day star must arise in your hearts. And the Lord said, look, I'm going to cause salvation, you know, to shine forth, righteousness, heavens drop down, glory of the Lord upon you. You know, the Gentiles will see your righteousness. Kings will see what God is doing. You know, people, the Lord call you by even a new name. He said, you'll be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Well, you know, what might be your new name? Well, somebody already gave themselves a new name in this place because the Lord gave it to them. You know, he said, you will no longer be called forsaken. But your name, instead of forsaken and desolate, your name will now be Hephzibah. That's right. You know, and your land will be called Beulah. Your life will now be called Beulah. Hephzibah and Beulah. Well, Hephzibah because the Lord delights in you, and Beulah because you will be married and you will not be alone. The Lord said, look, you know, you will be called sought out. That's right. You know, some, you know, for our women and so forth that are single, they have to wait, you know, just wait and wait and wait. And sometimes it feels like, look, what's going on? Where are the men? But the Lord said, you will be called sought out. You will not be called forsaken. You will be called chosen because the Lord delights in you. Hallelujah. And he said, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And the bridegroom rejoice over the bride. And these things will be happening in the household of faith. And I have some of us here that have grown children too, that are not married. And some of us that are unmarried, single. But some have their children that are unmarried. They're grown. Many of them grown in their 30s, 40s, and so forth. Yet not married. The Lord says, something good coming. Gladness and joy. Tidings coming for you this year. All you got to do is believe it. And the Lord said, look, here's what I'm going to do. You know, the Lord said, I am swearing by my own right hand that I will no more give thy corn, this is verse 8, to be meat for thy enemies. Neither the sons of strangers shall drink thy wine, for the which you have labored. You are the one that labored for it, and you will be the one that will eat it. Nobody going to step in and take that which is. This man said, well, somebody's always stepping in and getting my blessing. No, nobody can get your blessing. You will get what's coming to you from the Lord. That's right. You know, you know, some people feel that, well, they're always passing me over for that promotion. they will no longer pass you over. Glory to God, because the king's favor and this scepter of his favor has been stretched out to you. The day spring is visiting you. The day star from on high is appearing unto you. Now, you will not gather for trouble. When you gather it, you will also enjoy it. For it is the gift of God that a man should enjoy the fruit of all his labor. That is the gift of God. And those that have gathered it shall eat it and shall praise the Lord. And they that have brought it shall drink it together in my court of my holiness, saith the Lord. Now, this is what the Lord will do for you. You will no longer earn money to put in a bag of holes, and you will not labor in vain. Praise the Lord. The Lord says the blessing of the Lord will now be upon it. That dew of heaven will be upon the work of your hands. Hallelujah. For the Lord to make to change something. Listen to this in Isaiah 65 and verse 23. You will not labor in vain. Glory to God. And you will not bring forth for trouble. When you know, people praying for a baby or a child or whatever, when you eventually have that child, be a perfect child, not be for trouble. Glory to God. Spotless, blameless, complete, lacking nothing, nothing broken. In the name of Jesus, you not bring forth for trouble. And even all your work should not be for trouble. The enemy will not come in there like the Midianites. You thresh all the floor, you do everything, and then Midianites come in and steal it, and so you have to hide. No! You know, that will no longer be the case. The day spring will be with you. The day star will arise upon you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, Lord, these things, these words we have declared over your people, and there are many more in the scriptures, declare over them. You know, this word shall take hold upon your people. The blessing of the Lord will be upon the heads of everyone that's in this room in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only you, for your children as well. And not only for your children, but also for you. It's going to be the both of you. Remember, that's what the Lord said in Psalm 115 and verse 14. It said, the Lord will increase you more and more, you and your children. Praise the Lord. And you know, I am needing increase this year. Used to think I didn't need it, but I need it. Holy Spirit made me realize that I need it. I need it. My children need it. They've got it, and I've got it. Praise God. Do you have it? Do you know that the Lord is increasing you? Well, may the Lord bless everyone that has listened to this with faith to see and to receive these blessings of the Lord. The day spring from on high visiting you, causing gladness and joy. Now, from your camp and your homes and your dwelling places, from this time forth and even as the Lord, until the coming of the Lord, the Lord tarries, may there come always the voice of gladness and the voice of joy and the voice of them that make merry and that shall say praise the Lord. And now, the God of heaven, hallelujah, the angel that has been with you from your child and up, cause all of his goodness to pass before you. Hallelujah. Strengthen you. Cause the hands that are hanging down to be strengthened. Cause the knees that are feeble to receive strength. Cause your head even to be lifted up, and that there be no more shame. Hallelujah. For your trouble also, you receive the double in the name of Jesus. And the Lord said, look, I will remove the shame, for my people shall never be ashamed. And again, my people shall never be ashamed. And yet again, my people shall never be ashamed. Thank you, Father, for the visitation of the day spring and the rising of the day star in our hearts, to the glory and the praise of the Lord. Thank you for blessing the work of our hands. Thank you for the beauty of our God shining over us. Thank you, Lord, that we are now the reflection, hallelujah, of he that is fairer than 10,000s. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you. We give you all the praise and glory as we release this benediction over your children. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.